massaged with salt and set aside to ferment for several weeks.
Did you know jan is similar to kombucha, but it's made using green tea and honey rather than black tea and sugar? Jan has its own SCOBY that is a very close cousin to the mother used to make vinegar.
And finally, Dr. Fauché's word of warning. As with anything health-related, check with your doctor if you have a weakened immune system, are pregnant or breastfeeding, and or if you're recovering from addiction.
Thanks, Dr. Fauché.
You're welcome. I know I hide away with you.
What a day. What a day. Ladies and gentlemen, have I got something special for you. Step right up. Step right up. Not you, kid. You bother me. You, kind sir.
Hello?
Yeah, you, the bald guy. Come on, right up here. Welcome to Dr. Fauché's Emporium of Concoctions for Peace, Love, and Soup. Are you ready to feel rejuvenated, young, and full of vim and vigor, zest, and zeal?
Yes.
Well, have I got a soup for you. I've got a soup for you,
do
boy.
Tell.
I'm gonna show you how to make a rejuvenating chilled vegetable soup for summer. Served any time of year, it's full of vitamins, minerals, and beneficial bacteria for good gut health. See you later, salads, and you silly outdated smoothies.
My interest is piqued. What's with all the jars?
Well, funny you should ask. What are we recording? Hi, Ryan, it's me.
Hi, Tommy. Well, you threw me with the top hat. By the way, has anybody ever told you have schizophrenic tendencies? This is how we ward off depression, people.
We've got to. There's so much cloud
totally.
Cover.
We have a show to record.
Oh, boy. Like, here's the true story.
Let's do this.
I kept thinking I wanted to make a cool, thin, brothy vegetable soup for summer. Something different. So I thought, what about a probiotic? Perhaps a Rejuvelac.
Like kimchi or kombucha.
Exactly. We've never done anything like that before.
No, it's so fun.
And I'd never seen it in soup form, have you?
Nah, that's great. What a wonderful idea.
I'm so glad. I thought you might like that. Mm-hmm. And since we're focusing on freshness and youth in this episode, I had the idea to create an effervescent soup using a cabbage Rejuvelac liquid and a variety of vegetables pickled in my homemade apple cider vinegar.
It sounds difficult.
Super easy.
Oh, okay.
I started by loosely filling this half-gallon jar here with shredded cabbage and filtered water. We're not heating any of this, so in order to get a tight seal, which will prevent any of the liquid from bubbling out, you need to cover the mouth of the jar with plastic wrap first, and then screw on the lid really tight. I let it sit out for 3 days at room temperature to ferment, and then it becomes a grain-free Rejuvelac.
How cool. And now what about these four colorful pint-sized jars? Are they the pickled vegetables you mentioned?
Indeed they are.
Uh-huh.
Let me show you. The first one is full of purple cauliflower florets.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. And the second one has Italian parsley and shredded tri-colored carrots. Mm. The third contains sliced button mushrooms. And the fourth is a combination of kale and mixed field greens or lettuces.
Huh.
You can use any vegetables you like or any combination of vegetables for that matter. Variety.
The spice of life, just like Generation Z.
Right. And each one is filled to just below the top with that live cider vinegar.
And then did you let these sit out on the counter as you did the cabbage Rejuvelac to ferment?
Yes, I did. They were out for 2 days and then I put them in the refrigerator. And that's it. So simple.
I love it.
I love the popping sound when they open.
Are we going to now combine them all to make the soup?
Yeah, I thought we could each make a bowl. We'd do it tapas style.
Like a salad bar.
Yeah, we could start with the Rejuvelac liquid as the base, straining out the cabbage to get the sparkling liquid to use as a cool broth. And if you like, you can use a tablespoon or two of what are now vegetable sipping vinegars also.
Or souping vinegars.
Yes, some soup humor. Well, let's put that base into these beautiful textured ceramic bowls that Lucinda just threw.
Did she make these bowls too?
Mm-hmm. She's multi-talented. She's that generation.
This is such a great concept, Tabe. Good job at you.
Oh, shucks.
Well, you know how I like color. So I'm totally going to use some of this vibrant purple vinegar and cauliflower. Toss in a little cabbage, some carrots.
Ooh, that's so pretty. And for a variety, I'll do a mixed palette. I'll just spoon out these pickled vegetables themselves. Parsley, mushrooms, kale, greens, some carrots. And I'm going to also put into mine some of that cabbage from the Rejuvelac.
All right. Now, let's not forget the garnishes.
Oh,
now,
God,
we have some spiraled yellow and green zucchini for Generation Z.
Yes, because we're so funny. And then we bought dry beet chips.
They're going to look so great floating on top of my soup for a little extra texture.
Oh, I'm putting a little shaved zucchinis.
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Throw this on top. I love it.
I like it, too. I love all the colors that we ended up with. And we can garnish as we desire and then serve.
Topping with salt as you see fit.
But you don't really need to unless it's for electrolytes to beat the heat. Let's taste.
Delicious. Crisp, crunchy.
Yes, different textures.
Cool.
Kind of tastes like a dressed salad.
Love.
And beautiful.
I feel young already.
Oh, well, hey.
I want to run out the door.
I know.
I got to go.
And voila, rejuvenating soup. Like these kids, it's original, unexpected, and bubbling with goodness.
And colorful. But you know what, Tavi? To get the full picture, though, they really have to see the pictures.
They really do.
They're posted online.
I feel like we're kind of on to something here.
Why don't you all make a Generation Z soup?
Right.
Post it to Instagram, hashtag Generation Zeal.
Hashtag peace, love, and soup.
Peace, love, and soup. I'll give you some peace, love, and soup. You've been listening to it here with Brian the Bald Guy and Dr. Frasche. Stick around for more culture, cooking, and conversation.
Just leave me in the dark, yeah. I won't take you out of leave, no. I won't leave you in the dark. Come on, take my heart and run it. Come on, just leave me in the dark, yeah. I won't take you out of leave, no. I won't leave you in the dark.
Tonight, Peace, Love, and Soup is at the Arlene Schnitzer Hall in downtown Portland for the 7th annual Burslandia Poetry Slam.
Celebrating Portland's creative youth, presented by Literary Arts.
Following the same rules as the National Poetry Slams, students must perform original works without props, costumes, or music
in front of a panel of judges and a live audience.
5 students with the top scores will walk away with great prizes, but only one will be the champion.
I'm really excited, and this is a beautiful concert hall. It's an amazing thing that all of these students get to be here and have an opportunity to really show their talents.
Your daughter is a contestant on tonight's Burslandia. What has she done to prepare herself?
I don't know if I'm at liberty to say. I know there was definitely a lot of nail biting by the mother and father. Let's go talk to some of the people lined up right now.
Welcome to Burslandia. Have you ever been before?
I have not.
I'm sensing an accent. Do they do poetry slams in your world?
I'm from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
We were taught poetry in school, recitations of poetry, but not slams.
What do you think of the young generation, Generation Z?
I'm impressed. I think they're much more aware of the world. I think they have a social conscience, which I certainly didn't at their age. All in all, I'm hopeful, and plus I think most young people are lean to the left, so that makes me happy.
What do you think of your generation?
I feel like there's been a lot of uproar and motivation to change things.
Have you ever been to Burslandia before?
No.
This is our first time. My daughter is performing. She won first place at Jefferson High School, so we're here to support her.
I'm Tegan.
And I'm Wyatt, his brother.
Do either of you slam?
No, I've never done it, but I was going to try it for the first time this year. I was like a little nervous, but hopefully maybe next year.
What do you think makes slamming so popular these days?
Ooh, I feel like people really like the performance aspect. Right before she died, I went and saw Ursula K. Le Guin reading some of her poetry, and that was kind of cool to like see her read it.
I think poetry is like a big part of the arts. It's like a big thing in my family as well, so.
Have you slammed before?
No, I'm 11. I want to, though.
Are you a slammer?
No, I like to write thoughts and get it out on paper.
Do you have a favorite poet?
Maya Angelou.
This is our librarian, Sunny Childs from Franklin High School.
How are you guys doing?
We're wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm excited for a bunch of different reasons. I love Burslandia. I
I think it's amazing that we've been able to establish this tradition and it's going to stick. I've got a great team of teachers that work with us to put the slam on, and always a great group of interesting kids who are charming and smart, right? So they keep setting the bar. It's delightful. I feel very blessed.
Sunny, I'd like to thank you for the work you do. It's an amazing thing to have librarians as dedicated as you are and to help foster our children become their best selves and get out into the world.
So there's hope for the future.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for tonight. Let's go inside.
Hello! Humans of varying shapes, sizes, colors, genders, and hearts, welcome to the seventh Verselandia! Please put your hearts together and applaud all the 22 young poets up onto this microphone tonight, as well as all the librarians and all the schools around this Portland city. Poets, are y'all good to go? Audience, are y'all good to go? All right, let's do this. Please welcome to the stage the first poet of the night, Pocket.
The last couple months, I've been numbering my thoughts. In between, I've been drawing lines and connecting dots for people I've got a lot of trouble explaining my mentality. I'm so deep into this shit, you can make the bowl out of me. But I'm honest of my honesty. So honestly, I'm no genius. I have quietness and fear of interpretation just like anybody else. It's just in every tick and every talk, every step we walk, just another second where we go, cuckoo. So from the here and now to the there and then, just want to get it through to you. Anybody can do what I do. It's no taboo, juju, hocus pocus, magic, voodoo. It's just everything I think I thought I knew, I knew I think I thought. So I brought these weirder thoughts in every conversation, every trial, tribulation. Well, that's just another chance, another demonstration of geniusness. Because that's all this unneededly, torturously, redeemably redundant and overcomplication of language is. Me trying to be amazing. Trying to be genius. For you. But it's meaningless. This will persist just as the sum total of some something someone once said. But meaninglessness is meaningless too, isn't it? Right now, we're alive, not cuckoo. See, I want me to be the me I want me to be. Same way I want you wanting you to be the you you want to. Living as we've nothing more to offer but everything to give. As if every moment lived after the next was simply for the context. Forget pretext. Simply speak as you've never been spoken to. Scream, shout, yell. Tell the world everything you wish to. Because even the hours feel like instants, the further distant you move. So move. If you've got something to prove, prove it. I've met too many people worried of too many possibilities. What if, what if? What if he, she, them, they? What if they say no? What if I can't do it? What if I'm not honest enough to make them feel what I feel? To make them see what I see? What if you, what if me? But the answer will always be, just shut up. Try to be you. For even though we may never know what any of this had ever meant, it must have been genius. It was you.
Applaud the poet. And please put your hands together and welcome to the stage the next poet, Lucinda.
I'm a bit of a crier. In fact, I'm sort of an expert on the matter. I've done my time, I've got my master's. If I wanted, I could charge $100 to teach a class, but I've decided to be generous with my learnings and instead devise a list for all you people who are yearning for some clarity on the matter. A list of where's and where nots, a list of how's and how nots, a list of Lucinda's top five all occasion best and worst places to cry. I will start with the worst. Number five, on a college tour. Preferably if you make the other parents and their kids uncomfortable. I bet they thought it was the financial aid that made me so emotional. I saw no reason to correct them. Number four, on stage. preferably if you play it off like an artistic choice. Who knew tree number 4 had such a complex character backstory? Maybe she's going to be the next upcoming prodigy. Nope, something's just wrong psychologically. Number 3, in the freezer section of a Fred Meyer's, preferably while clutching a bagged rotisserie chicken to your chest. The employees kept asking if I needed any help. I'll give you a hint. I did. Number 2, on camera, preferably if it ends up on social media afterwards. I'll tell you right now, puffy eyes are not attractive qualities. Number 1, at somebody else's birthday party, preferably while eating their entire birthday cake. But don't feel too bad. They'll get another next year, I hope. Sorry, Grandma. And I know those sound rough, but don't worry. It's not all as bad as it seems. There are plenty of ways to relieve your feelings while still retaining your dignity. So let's move on to the top 5 better places to cry. Number 5, all alone. While being accompanied by sad music, if you try hard enough, it's almost as if you're in an indie movie, and, well, you sort of are. Number 4, on a bench in the park, while holding a loaf of bread, the pigeons won't mind your wallowing, and they will appreciate your weepy crumbs. Number 3, in the rain, on somebody's porch in an act of love, if you're lucky, as the protagonist in a rom-com, but either way, the rain will disguise your tears, or at least wash them away. Number 2, in the bath, while eating ice cream out of the carton, drown your feelings in the warm water, numb your hurt with a pity sundae, and now, Number 1, in the arms of someone who cares while they are crying too. But out of love and not of pity, and out of strength and not of shame. Thank you.
Applaud the poet. And let's keep that energy going and bring up the next poet, Nicole.
Black women are the epitome of enigma, the personification of perfection. I said the personification of perfection. Beauty in the eye of every beholder. And for far too long, y'all have been asleep, so as I spill this tea, sip this Folgers. I am subconsciously sublime, and like wine, I just get better with time, because I am carrying the weight of my ancestors on my back, and I am nowhere near oblivious to the fact that society just wants me to lay on my back, do crack, and have a couple babies. A white man could shoot me, and I would go to jail first for saying it's shady. Nefertiti, Cleopatra, Harriet, Sojourner, Ruby Bridges, Rosa Parks, Coretta King, y'all are who I look up to, who I speak to from my knees. So I ask you, I beg kindly, when I am tripping, guide me, remind me, tell me that I am a black queen, and from everything I could have been born, I was born looking like you, from the way that my skin gleams in the sun to the way the world curl off of my tongue. I am who they desire and to which y'all aspire. Tell me I'm pretty, I'm worth it, I deserve it, because in a world like this, in a place like this, with a face like this and a shape like this, I am always a target. Whether it be from the men who think my consent is up for bargain, or for the women who hate me for the way that I look and then pay thousands for the body that I inherited. Or from the die-hard Americans who find it imperative to remind me that I do not belong in a place that I did not ask to be. The most disrespected woman in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. And the most neglected person in America is the black woman. And that fucking sucks, because the love, the brains, the beauty, and the care of a black woman is something that many cannot touch, yet too often I hear the stereotype that we are ghetto or down on our luck. So just in case you were wondering, 43 out of 50 black women graduate high school, and that is 86%. And when it comes to money, business is booming, with a 322% rise in black female-owned businesses since 1997. So black girls in college surpasses any other race in, and that includes America's prized white men. So using that uneducated jab, you not gonna win. I could mention the paper bags, caller ID, windshield wipers, diapers, the heater, the brush, half the things that you and I need, we invented, yet we are still not worthy of love, protection, affection. But karma gonna come around and you'll learn your lesson.
Give it up for Nicole. And please keep that energy going, and let's bring up the last poet, Jolly Rapper.
This poem is titled, The Risk I Dared Take. In the kitchen is where my mother was, wearing her favorite gravy-stained apron, over and up her buttoned-up button-up. Yeah, that shirt she wore when she was painting, she always wore that shirt. Why? It had me puzzled much. Like, did she not notice the buttons were breaking? Though the shirt was creased and roughened up, it's always been here, she just couldn't replace it. Why do you always worry so much? Quit acting like you really won't make it. She said to me as she was making me lunch, oh, I'm not worried, you must be mistaken. It's just these lyrics and ideas that I keep bundled up in my mind seem to be making me anxious. I know these lyrics aren't very much, but soon these are what will be making me famous. I peeked over her shoulder, leaned over the open drawer full of old knives that were dull and broken. Without knowing it, I nose dove into a home full of aroma that arose from the warm stove. And, by the way, Mom, what you making? Nudging me out the way, she sounded irritated. Sorry, but you have to keep waiting. I'm making your favorite. I'm cooking, quit pacing, not playing, be patient. I wondered, what's the occasion? Got tired of waiting, I just couldn't take it. Smelled so good, I could basically taste it. My stomach was aching, that food I was craving. Turned the corner and the sight was amazing. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I say that day I started fainting. Gazing in amazement, her creations had me changing faces. Went from nappy and bland to happy and glad. Listen to eggs get cracked on the pan. Glistening eggs go splash on the pan. Sizzling eggs go cracking and splat on the pan. Witness potatoes get slashed into halves. So many memories that I have had with that pan. Seeing my mother gripping the pan with her withering hands, flipping and whipping and tipping the pan. Seeing how quickly it switched in her hands. You can't begin to imagine or fathom the way that she handled the pan. Knew the kitchen like the back of her hand. I was plotting and planning the actions of snatching the snacks in the back of the cabinet. Taking my chances and acting a savage. Would this catastrophe actually happen? That was my last thought. Passing the asking when grabbing the glass jar. But accidents happen. Gas as I managed to make a gigantic glass fall. She wasn't that far, shattered in half of a second, as loud as a crack in the asphalt. Oh snap, it just happened. That is the last straw. She snapped it and started slapping and smacking the back of my hand hard. But those homemade cookies were the risk I dared take.
Give it up for Jolly Rapper. So, without further ado, coming in third, we have Jolly Rapper. In second place, Nicole. And your first place winner for 2018 versus Landia, put it together for Lucinda. Congratulations. Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your night. We'll see you next year.
Well, it's been a few months since Verslandia 2018 crowned its winner, Miss Lucinda Drake, and she's here with us today in the studio, joined by her lovely, proud mother, Peace, Love, and Soup's very own co-soupier.
Oh, I like soupier.
Tave Fashe Drake. Hello, ladies.
Hey. Hi.
Well, first off, Lucinda, congratulations on winning Verslandia this year.
Why, thank you very much.
Can you take us back to that night? How did you feel? Were you nervous?
I was very nervous, but mostly shocked. When they were calling out their names in fifth place, in fourth place, I'm a little not shocked. And then when they were like, second place, Nikki, and first place, Lucinda. And I was like, I'm going to vomit. But I didn't. Yay. And that was cool.
Are you normally nervous? I don't find you normally nervous.
Well, I don't do a lot of performance of this sort. This was the first poetry slam I'd ever done. I've performed before, but you have lines prepared and you didn't write them. Someone else wrote them, so it's a lot less scary. I just had to keep telling myself, yeah, the point is not the points. The point is the poetry.
People all around me were so on your team.
Oh my,
could
stop.
You feel that? No, I'm not lying to you. Did you love that attention?
Oh, yeah. My friend told me a story once. She does dance, and her instructor was like, now, why do we perform? And they were like, 'cause we like to make people feel things. And she was like, no, because it's how we share our voices. And she was like, fellas, why do we really perform? Because we like being clapped at. And she was like, yes, we perform because we like being clapped at. And I think about that a lot because I sure do like being clapped at.
I like when you told me afterwards, I just wish somebody would just walk around and just clap at me periodically. Like,
yeah, just like someone will walk around behind me and have a little spotlight and be like, woo, you're doing great. And I'm like, thanks, I just brushed my teeth. Good job, me.
So Tavi, tell me from your experience, you were watching your daughter up there, loved by the crowd.
I was just so delighted that she had done so well at her school and was able to go to Verslandia. The utter surprise of the whole thing, along with just all of the emotion. It was overwhelming and fantastic. And then at the end, when they announced the winner, I literally screamed. It was probably what being at a Beatles concert was like, because I screamed so loud right in my husband's face. We made that child. We made her.
Oh my gosh. So there was a couple and they reached out to me via Instagram and they were like, we were sitting right behind your parents and they were so cute. When we heard you won, they were just screaming, we made that, we made that. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like them. That doesn't surprise me.
The pieces you wrote, you use humor very well to experience something that probably wasn't so fun when you went through it. Or is there some fiction involved?
The first poem I did at Verslandia, The Best and Worst Places to Cry, I wrote right after a college tour, and I was so sad. I was so depressed and feeling things. And I wonder what the other kids touring were thinking. And they were probably like, look at this wacko. like she's in tears. And I was like, well, that kind of sucks. I've probably cried in a lot of places. I can write a poem about that.
Well, and I imagine you're speaking for your generation, too.
Yeah, everyone was sad. We were all sad.
Yeah, well.
Everyone's sad all the time.
Well, no, but
well,
you have emotions
winter.
That you experience.
Oh, yeah, we feel things.
We love
put them in there.
Well, there's an openness to your generation, which is amazing, frankly.
Agreed. Go that.
So last week we asked a few members of Gen Z the question, what are you going to be when you grow up?
Do I you, love that question.
Oh, you do love that question?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me, what are you going to be when you grow up?
I'm going to be everything. I'm going to be an artist and a baker and a comedian. I'd love to work on SNL at some point in my life.
I could see that in a heartbeat.
Sell art and pies and do freelance illustrative work and animate. I don't know, everything.
Where do you find the time for all that?
I don't know. I don't sleep.
Do you sleep? You don't sleep. How would you describe your generation?
It's kind of hard because I can speak for all the people I surround myself with, people who challenge each other and challenge themselves and are passionate about what they do and do a lot of things and, you know, are working to change the world. But then recently I've realized that's not what everyone is.
Do you feel like your voice can be heard? You have the ability to change the future?
Oh, me myself?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel empowered. I think I don't do enough to speak up about political things that I really care about. I have other friends who do that more and are like calling politicians and interviewing people. And like, that's really crazy. And that's really awesome. And we need more of that. But unfortunately, I'm not contributing to that as much as I should.
Well, that just makes me think of we do what we can that we do best. So in my eyes, what I see of you as a young person, you know how to express emotions in a way that people can cozy up to them and accept them or see them in themselves, especially using humor that you do. And so maybe that's how you change the world. And I just got goosebumps. Look at that.
I just got goosebumps too. And I'm going to start crying.
I'm hungry.
But before I say goodbye, why do we always leave this for the last question?
Oh,
do you have a favorite soup?
I do have a favorite soup. It is sizzling rice soup at a Thai food place called Tentao. oh my gosh, it's my favorite. We get it vegetarian, but with chicken broth. And so it would be like tofu and vegetables. And then they come out with this steaming hot, crispy rice and they pour it on the top of the soup and it crackles. And oh, it's the best thing. Yeah.
Ooh.
We go hard.
I might have to try that then too.
Oh, it's good.
And then finally, how do people find you and all your things that you're doing?
Yeah, if you want to see some of my art, I have an Instagram, which is lucinda.fasce.art, lucinda.fasce.art.
And your music?
I never put up my music.
Oh.
Nope.
We got an exclusive on that then.
Yeah, we do. Thank heavens for us.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks again, kid. We love you.
You're awesome.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.
Bye.
Love you. Listening to Peace, Love, and Soup with Tave Fasce Drake and Brian Joseph Patrick Delaney. Closing today's show with the midterm elections just weeks away, we thought it important to share this quote from Malala Yousafzai, author of I Am Malala.
When the whole world is silent, even one voice becomes powerful.
Spending summer with the younger generation was a reminder to actively keep creating our future. And I personally feel recharged and ready to make change and even have a little fun with it. What about